which impact the power of partnership in giving. The first principle is this, of partnership. So that partnership in giving unifies the body of believers. So anything that we do together unifies the body of believers. There's something I was sharing earlier that I love to do is mission work. Why? Because it's church people, God's people coming together in a very informal basis. Church is a little more formal, informal basis, and we go out and we do things for others that we give of ourselves, our time, oftentimes of our resources, and we just get to hang out together and work together. That's fun stuff. We get dirty, nasty, grimy, stinky together. We borrow each other's toothbrushes and wash rags, soap. Not really, but it got your attention. See, as partners in giving, we're unified in a spiritual movement by investing our financial resources to fulfill the vision of changing lives and creating destinies of hope. We see in verses 1 and 2, Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, "Now I want you to know this, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They were being tested by many troubles and very poor, but they were able to feel with abundant joy, which is overflowed into rich generosity." Paul called for generosity and giving from the Gentile churches to support the Jewish church over in Jerusalem. Christian Jewish church. Was something unique that Paul wanted them to understand about the Macedonian church. The Macedonians were very poor people. They didn't have a lot of money. But even in their poverty, even though the Bible says they had gone through severe testings and severe trials, they had gone through all of these things, they still outgave the other churches who had plenty. And Paul is challenging the Corinthian church, says, listen, there's a great need over in the Jerusalem church, and this other church who's gone through so much stuff are outgiving you, rich Corinthians. He said their joy for the blessing of being in Christ Jesus, ignited and unified, an outpouring of grace and giving. These Macedonian Christians were just excited because Jesus loved them so much and forgave them for their sins. Listen, he didn't have to beg them to give. They responded because they loved Christ, simply because they were so excited about being saved. Church, if there's something that we need today, is to be excited about being saved. Most people just think they're saved automatically. I went to church today, I'm saved. No, you're not. Listen, I've done hundreds of funerals. And for as everybody was ever concerned, everybody went to heaven. Now, I'm not in a place of judgment to go say this person did or did not. But let's be real. There's a narrow way and a wide way. Those who follow Christ find the narrow way. And they pursue the Lord Jesus. Many are on the wide way. Few are on the narrow way. See, those on the narrow way have this joy inside, this excitement about Christ Jesus. You don't have to beg them to do anything for the Lord. They do it in response because they love Jesus so much. Filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in his power. You don't have to go to them and say, well, I need you to do this. Well, I need you to do that. No, they respond because, listen, what Christ has done for me, I want to give back to others so that I can show them what Jesus has done in my life, he can do in theirs. Jesus prayed that his church would be unified in such a way so that the world will know that he is Lord. See, the Macedonians, they unified their efforts to invest in the Jerusalem Christians' lives. John 17, verse 20 through 22, Jesus said this, "My prayer is not for them alone," meaning the disciples. He said, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus desires that you and that me unite together in our energy, our resources, our volunteering, all the things. We unite together to meet the needs for kingdom work. And that's really what it is. Listen, when you're asked to teach a Sunday school class or to help with the toddlers, that's kingdom work. When we are asked to donate, to give, that's kingdom work. You're asked to go on a mission trip, that's kingdom work. You're asked to go out and pick up trash, not everybody's favorite thing to do. That's kingdom work. That's showing the love of Christ to those around who need to see Jesus in the real world. Doug Carter said this, stewardship is partnership. Partnership with the God of heaven in carrying out his mission here on planet Earth. What a wonderful privilege to have a key role in partnering with the Lord Jesus as he builds his church. People want their lives to count for by having a part in a spiritual movement, not a monument. God's people are attracted by opportunities to make investments that change lives. I love that. We see the second principle of partnership. Not only does it unify Christians and believers together, it intensifies commitment to one another. Not only does it unify us, we become committed to one another. It intensifies that. I depend on you. When we planned this pickup on Chico Park Road, Erica had been bad if we'd been the only ones there, huh? I depended on you to respond for that. Caitlin been pretty bad Wednesday night if it had just been you, Stormy, and Zach, huh? With all these children coming in. No, we depend on each other. If Michaela had to get up and sing, she depends on that band being here and keeping the right beat. We need one another. I can't teach every connection group class. Wouldn't want to. We have people who are committed to that. We need each other. Partnerships intensifies our commitment. Partnership creates a persevering commitment to the well-being of all participants, as well as a vested interest in achieving a shared vision. Verses 3 and 4. Just for I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Get this. The Macedonian churches, the one who had hardly no funds, the one who was very poor, pleaded for the opportunity with Paul to send what they had and what they could over to the Jerusalem church. Get that. Most time when we're short on a little money and when things aren't going like we want them to go to, we're, oh, poor, pitiful me. Lord, give me something. Lord, break through for us. Man, we tend to go the opposite direction. We don't want anybody to ask for anything. We start cutting back where we can, cutting back. That's good, wise judgment to some degree. But the reality is that we're not looking for opportunities to bless other people's lives when we don't have very much ourselves. And the Macedonian Christians went the opposite direction. They said, Paul, we want to give. Paul, we want to do. Because Jesus has done so much for us, we want to invest in them. And they did. They didn't just say, we want to. They did. Kind of against the norm of human behavior. Most people do not beg to give money and possessions away. Yet through the grace of generosity, these churches unified with their intense commitment to pour into someone else's life. You know what I like about being Southern Baptist is one of the things is our cooperative program. What does that mean? All Southern Baptist churches together pool our resources, our money together, and we send missions out across the world. Here in Louisiana, across the United States, and across the world. That's far more doing this together than we could by ourselves. Now, we do support other missionaries as a church. But when you bring your resources together, it's amazing how it impacts. So even as we look at what we're trying to do as this building and relocating to have more space, more room on this beautiful piece of property. Listen, if I had to do it myself, it's not going to get done. But we work together as partners and depend on each other. Macedonian church loved God and each other that they even went beyond their ability. Oh, to have that kind of faith. Oh, to have that kind of intensity, that kind of love, that kind of commitment to one another and to the vision that God had given them. They truly partnered together, eased the suffering of their fellow believers. They persevered in their commitment to outlast their difficulties and matters that could have made them abandon their commitment. Even though they were going through hard times, they stuck to their commitment. Even though they were going through hard times, they stuck to their commitment. Why do you stick to your commitment in marriage through hard times? Why? Because you're invested. It means something to you. You stick to it. And that person that you're married to sticks to it because you stick to it. So if you don't stick to it, they're not going to stick to it as well either. You depend on each other. Peter Drucker said, unless commitment is made, there are only promises and hopes, but there are no plans. Unless commitment is made. See, the third principle of partnership. Partners in giving expresses a growing faith in God. When we partner together in a generosity of giving, it shows a growing faith in God. You're saying, Lord, I don't know what all this is going to look like, but Lord, I know the vision that you've given. Lord, I believe in your kingdom. Lord, I believe in the work that we're doing as a church. Lord, I will give because I believe you're going to do great things. And it grows our faith. There's something in our churches today that we need our faith to grow. And our faith only grows when it's exercised. If our faith is never challenged and never exercised, our faith won't grow. And we'll stay baby Christians with little bitty faith, maybe for even years. Partnership in giving enlarges a person's faith capacity, which allows God to excel them to new heights and multiply their blessings. We see in verse 6 and 7, it says, so we urge Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish the ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith and your giving, gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love for us, I want you to excel in the gracious act of giving. Paul encourages these Corinthians to be holistic in their faith. It's funny how, as we as Christians, there are Christians who love music, and so they're all in the music. But other areas of their life suffer. They don't read their Bible very much. Prayer life doesn't exist very much. Their giving doesn't exist very much. Their giving of themselves, volunteering, doesn't exist very much. And there are some people who love Bible studies. We as Baptists love Bible studies. We love to go to a Bible study. Where's the new Bible study going to be at this week? We love going from Bible study to Bible study. New class. We love to learn. All it is knowledge if you're not using it. We can be some of the most knowledgeable Christians, but so weak in everything else. Knowledge, why? Because we consume, but we're not putting out very much. God wants us to be holistic, that we do enjoy Christian music, that we do enjoy God's word, that we do enjoy coming to worship, that we do have Christian friendships, is that we do volunteer, that we do give. God wants a balanced Christian life, not one that is so far-sighted to one direction than the other. Paul told them that these Corinthians lacked balance, growth in their giving. Paul encouraged them to strive for the excellence in giving. As they learned to give generously, their faith will reach new heights. So what happened is Paul went to the Corinthian church and they began to give. They committed to give. So Titus visited them. They committed to give. They started. In less than a year, they give out. It started trickling down. Listen, is your faith like that? That you start out strong and then you just go this way? Sometimes our faith and our act of giving can start out strong. Man, I'm so glad what Jesus did for me, and man, that we're going to commit to this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. We start out here, and then the next thing you know, 6 months later, we're down here. Because we're basing things on emotion rather than commitment. We're basing everything on emotion. Well, I don't like the way things are going over there, so we just stop. Paul is addressing that, says, listen, he's sending Titus back to the Corinthian church a year later. Said, listen, you need to finish what you started. Because God's work is depending on what you're doing right now. He entrusted that to our care. You need to finish the job. In reality, the poor people of the Macedonian churches were outgiving the believers of the more fluent Corinthian church, because the Corinthian church had basically just stopped before they committed, before they finished out their commitment. See, we too must strive for this balanced growth in our faith. Many of us have a good knowledge of our Bible truths, yet the practice of our faith, that faith that is proven by action, is often weak. However, when we generously give, we form this partnership with God. Wouldn't you like to say that you're in partnership with God? Partnership with God and with others to fulfill kingdom work. As we give, we express our gratitude to God and willingness to trust Him beyond our control. Nothing is done in our power and control. Nothing is done in that. We trust God. Only when you and I move beyond ourselves are we acting in faith. Listen, if we say we're going to do something because we can do it on our own, then that's not faith. But if we just say we're going to do something because we're going to trust God, and God provides for us and we get it done, oh, what a wonderful thing. How many times have you faced a challenge in your life, whatever it may have been, and you knew it was a little beyond you, and you just needed God? You just needed God to guide you, direct you, lead you, give you the things that you needed to complete the work. The courage. Moving beyond your abilities to trust God. As we learn to trust God and extend ourselves and trust Him through action, God influences our faith and He increases it. He enlarges our capacity of spiritual growth. And this enlarged faith, the Lord blesses us with greater and greater responsibility when we partner with God with our time, with our talent, with our tithe, and teach. We're taught to be this blessing for other people who needs a touch from God. It's amazing how God uses us when we put ourselves out a little beyond what we're comfortable with, a little beyond ourselves. It's amazing what God does in us, how He grows us up, and how He uses us to influence other people's lives and all sorts of things. The fourth principle is our hurry. The principle of partnership. Partners in giving magnifies Jesus Christ. Faithful generosity multiplied together accomplishes great things and brings honor to our Savior. Verse 8 says, I'm not commanding you, but I want you to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that through all that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich. Paul encourages these Corinthian Christians. He said, listen, you stick to your commitment. You grow in the grace of generosity because Jesus is your example. So what? Jesus had it all. Think about it. In heaven, He had it all. He didn't need to come down to this earth. He gave up his riches to come to earth to live for 33 and a half years, to die for your sin and my sin on a cross, to set us free so that we could inherit the same thing he had, that we would become heirs not only of his grace, but of his kingdom. If Jesus set the example for us, when we begin to look at our tithe, our talent, all the things, our commitment, our volunteering, all the things of our life as we want to grow holistically as a Christian, when we look at our life, what more? What are we truly giving because we love the Lord Jesus? What are we giving of ourselves because we love the Lord Jesus? Not because somebody keeps asking, but because we truly love Jesus, we respond. We respond in faith. We respond to the needs that are there. We go beyond ourselves and say, "Here I am, Lord, use me." As we partner together in our giving, we honor God with the blessings that he has given to us. We demonstrate that we are grateful, and it is truly thanksgiving coming from the bottom of our hearts. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But we grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forevermore." Oh, is your life being a reflection of the grace of Jesus Christ, that you give him honor and give him glory? The last principle is this: partners in giving multiplies ministry's effectiveness. It multiplies ministry's effectiveness. Excellence in the grace of giving resources empowers God's people to impact the effectiveness and efficiency of kingdom work. Verse 10, 11 says, "This is my advice," Paul says. "It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin to do it. Now, you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed at the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have." Paul gave this just as a piece of advice: finish what you started. Church, if that rings home to this pastor, we bought property 8 years ago, Chico Park Road, 20 acres. The whole purpose of we buying it is not that we have more grass to cut. It's not just to have a playtime, a place that we can go cook out. The whole purpose of that is we ran out of room. 8 years ago, we ran out of room. We're borrowing parking spaces all across. We're at two services because if we had one, there would be nobody here that could fit anymore. So we had two services. We had no room. People were leaving because there's no parking places. Come in, there was no seats to have. We go to two services. So we're trying to accommodate all we could. The whole purpose is that we finish well. Is that we bought property to relocate the church. And listen, that's a huge undertaking. That's a big thing. That's not just adding a building to where you're existing. That's relocating to a whole different campus. And it takes commitment. It takes desire. It takes the vision of seeing what God is doing. Hear my heart in this. God didn't bring me the Ville Platte just so we could just, you know, have a little fun together, do a little work together. No. God brought me to Ville Platte 15 years ago so that we could grow God's kingdom. And that takes and that requires a new facility to get us there. It's a God vision. It's not something I dreamed up and woke up one day, "Hey, yeah, I think we need a new church building." No, I was looking around and said, "We're running out of space." And it takes time to do those things. So the land's paid off. We have $700,000 in the bank toward a new building. Some of you would say, "Well, we need to start building." You don't just start building a couple of million-dollar building with $700,000. It's a great start. But it comes monthly. It comes monthly, that note to pay monthly. We can't do like the Corinthian church, start out well for a little while with great intentions, and a year later we abandon ship. We can't do that. You see, it takes commitment for a long term. It takes commitment to say this is going to be done. Intensify. And it multiplies our effectiveness when we do it together. You say, well, Brother Kevin, I think everything looks fine. The church, you know, I see some empty seats. Yes, sadly, I do too. You know what it feels like preaching to an empty seat? Not so much fun. Especially when you know the Holy Spirit has a great message for them. But I know that the seats will be filled through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we partner together, intensify our partnership together, we don't stop because we don't feel like it anymore. We keep on going. It's called perseverance. It's called perseverance of the saints. We keep on going and going and going, even when things don't look like we want them to look. No, we partner together. I love what Andrew Carnegie said. He said, teamwork is the ability to work toward a common goal, a common vision, the ability to direct individual accomplishments toward organized objectives. It is the fuel that allows common people to achieve uncommon results. Margaret Mead said it this way. She said, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed people can change the world. Indeed, is the only thing that ever has. How can First Baptist Church, Ville Platte, achieve a God-sized vision? We're a small group. We're not in a wealthy community. Matter of fact, is one of the poorest areas around. We may be like that Macedonian church that Paul keeps referring back to, who gave beyond measure because they simply loved the Lord Jesus. They committed to it and they stuck to it. First Baptist Ville Platte may be like that Macedonian church. Can we match that kind of faith? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Do we have that kind of faith? Yes, we do. I believe it 100%. You came out this morning on a rainy, nasty morning because you love Jesus. Simply because you love Jesus. When I saw that beautiful train of people coming up saying, yes, we commit to what God is doing. Listen, let our partnership stick together. Let us be a team of people working together for this great vision that God has laid out for us. Let us not grow weary. Let us not grow tired. Let us not be anxious. Let us stay in step with God, and God will bring about His vision and His timing. He's testing our faithfulness right now. Oh, church, I love you. And I pray if you've not committed anything to the partnership of giving, I pray that you will. I pray that you take those cards home and just seek God first. Let's pray together. Father God, today, You have built us for relationship. God, You have built us for partnership. God, where we depend upon You and we depend upon one another. Lord, You don't bring great things into our life just as an individual. You bring us great things that we can be a blessing to others. And Father, envision the missionaries coming to First Baptist Ville Platte and us sending missionaries out. Lord, the community service, the community things that we can do to reach out not only to Ville Platte but all the surrounding areas. God, all to glorify Your name. And Lord, when we're long gone out of the picture, that there stands a church for the next generation and the next generation to worship and look back at the sacrifices of the people of today, just as we can look back at the sacrifices of generations before us. And thank you, Lord, for their giving. Thank you, Lord, for their commitment. God, that there will be generations coming that can look back to us and say, thank you, church, for 2018, for giving of yourself to the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.